This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week following a holiday weekend starts right here, live right now on a Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on everything that we saw from this past three-day weekend. Hope you enjoyed it yesterday, Memorial Day weekend as it is. The unofficial kickoff to summer. Looks like my co-host, not quite a white jacket to celebrate the summer months, but nice and light, DRS. I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend as well.
Summer season out here, having some cocktails, sitting back. Now, my cocktails have turned into mocktails. It's basically Mio water, but we can still have some cigars, and we did a lot of cigar hunting over the weekend. The only problem was, Ben, the RBI hunting, not great here on Saturday and Sunday and certainly into Monday. But Tuesday is a new week, and I got a nice game picked out late night for the people if they want to stay up late. So that should get you ready for 3 hours and all that energy you need right here on the Early Line.
DRS, part of our charge, new week, new money, new day, new money. The weekend that was, yes, a recap and review to reset where things are around the association in the NBA postseason with one team already into the NBA Finals, the team we expected to be there all along. We'll look at the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Another thriller last night in the Western Conference Finals between Edmonton and Dallas. What is happening out east between the Rangers and the Panthers with back-to-back overtime games. And Memorial Day weekend, a big one in the calendar in Major League Baseball, where you know how legitimate your team is for the rest of the summer. A couple of our guys, though, yesterday, our TEL MLB All-Stars, the Gas Bomb and Robert Gasser, scoreless in six for the Brewers once again, and the Pasquatch Vinny Pasquantino, one of those RBIs yesterday for the Royals, albeit in a losing effort. All of that and more over these 3 hours. We start, though, DRS, of course, in the Eastern Conference Finals, game number four last night in Indianapolis for a second consecutive contest. No Tyrese Haliburton out there for Indiana, and the Pacers played this series incredibly tight, game to game, but Indiana ultimately loses in four. The Celtics pull off a sweep to get back to the NBA Finals for the second time in the last three NBA seasons. 105-102, the victory for Boston last night. Indiana does cover as a 7.5-point underdog. The Pacers covering in by 5 points or less, but ultimately it is the Celtics in a sweep, Boston back into the NBA championship series.
And we're not surprised by this. And also over those first three series that we watched the Boston Celtics, how much are we giving them the nod to? They're a really good basketball team, or are they just a good basketball team getting all of the breaks right now, which includes the best player on each team in every round, not finishing the series out? That's probably going to change once you get to the NBA Finals. But if you do need to be what we call Monday morning, Tuesday morning, rested and ready here, the Celtics are going to be rested and ready. They got a long layoff here to the NBA Finals to get back Kristaps Porzingis. I can't take anything away from that series other than we knew the Celtics are good, but I appreciated the fight of the Pacers in game three and game number four. That's a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter. Pacers, you got to win that game. Couple bounce, couple shots here, and we actually have a long series, but it turns out we don't. It's a short series, and it's a sweep.
Indiana up by 18 in game number three over the weekend as well for Boston to rally and pull off a comeback. Of course, even at full strength in that decisive game number one inside TD Garden. We'll talk about the Celtics' path to an NBA Finals, what it all means with the rest advantage they are more than likely going to have. But Dallas is up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals as well. Jaylen Brown, sensational in this series for the Celtics. A team-high 26. 6 points yesterday to lead Boston to the victory in game number four. It was Derek White burying the corner three. That was the game-winning shot under 55 ticks remaining in regulation. But Jaylen Brown, not Jason Tatum, victorious of the Eastern Conference Finals MVP award. He was plus 350 to win it before the series. Tatum, a very hefty minus money favorite. Jaylen Brown ends up with the hardware.
Yeah, why not? You take a look at the four games here. 26 points, 40 points, 24 points, and 29 points. Very, I mean, I don't want to say efficient at this point, but certainly on an even keel over those games. We also thought it would be close, which technically it was, where you get the nod to Tatum, but that's a nice win for Brown. Or are they just saying, okay, you didn't make any all-NBA teams. Here's your hardware for this round, and we'll see what happens in the NBA Finals.
And we'll talk about the NBA Finals. The Celtics were the expected favorite all season long. Will they finally be able to capture NBA championship and Larry O'Brien trophy number 18 in the long and illustrious history of this Boston organization? Western Conference Finals now on the ice. Game number three, a change of venue for the first time in Edmonton last night. And the Dallas Stars, after winning game two to even the series, go on the road and win game number three. 5-3 the final. And Jason Robertson, the young star for the Stars, he scores a hat trick, netting 3 of the 5 for Dallas. They take a 2-1 series advantage.
A devastating loss for the Edmonton Oilers. You're up 2-0 at the end of the first period, and you strike first within the first 2 minutes of that game to set the tone. That's where you need to win on your home ice. Not able to do so. Tremendous performance by the Stars, which, again, Jason Robertson, absolutely tremendous. You need your players to step up in big moments, and down 2-0 on the road and winning that game by two, that's pretty good by the Stars.
The Stars were the underdog entering game number three. It was an even pick'em on the money line in a series that has been very up in the air. Dallas now the slight series favorite. We go to the opening weekend of action, the second Grand Slam event of this year in the world of tennis. To Paris we head at Roland Garros for the 2024 French Open. And a man that has dominated on clay, might have had his final French Open come to a close in the opening round. Rafa not 100% committed to what his future is in tennis, but he was bounced in straight sets in his opening match against Alexander Zverev. 112-4 is Nadal's all-time record at the French Open, his fourth loss on Sunday morning.
Oh, good things got to come to end. Father Time's going to catch up with you. And does that end? By the way, is the French Open over now because he lost? Is that what I'm gathering here where it's done? It's a one-day tournament?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they've said. Yeah, pretty much done now that Rafa is out. No, we kid. It is going on some great action over the next 2 weeks in Paris. A sad moment yesterday, DRS, in the world of sports. An icon of college basketball, both playing on the hardwood and off the court as one of the voices of Pac-12 after dark and late night college hoops. Bill Walton passes away at the age of 71. The Basketball Hall of Famer, one of the most decorated college basketball players of all time. A three-time National Player of the Year, multiple national championships, two of them undefeated under John Wooden at UCLA. After a lengthy battle of cancer, Bill Walton has passed away at the age of 71.
Probably my favorite college basketball commentary person was Bill Walton, because who else is going to get you through those boring-ass Pac-12 games in the middle of the night? He was the only reason to tune in and watch. Now we don't have the Pac-12, and we don't have Bill Walton. Tough scene out here, Ben. Shame.
Bill Walton passes away merely a day following the final conference event in the Pac-12 conference's history. Symbolic, some might say. Rest in peace to a college basketball legend and icon in Bill Walton. Angel Hernandez, as we go back to Major League Baseball, the controversial MLB ump that maybe you have heard of because of his poor performance calling games, has unexpectedly retired in the middle of a season. DRS, a lengthy report in The Athletic details how Angel Hernandez didn't like all of the negative publicity that he received and how it affected his family.
Yeah, and sometimes we shouldn't even have, unions in Major League Baseball, particularly an umpire's union. It should be graded based on how good you are as an umpire on whether or not you get hired, not just because you're in a union. He was absolutely catastrophic over the past 20 to 25 years. He was an umpire, absolutely embarrassing. It's about time. And now, if you have him behind the plate and you're going to bet a baseball game, you can feel comfortable. They're not going to get screwed over with bad call after bad call after bad call. This is a good day for baseball.
Hernandez set to retire after 34 years. DRS will not be pouring one out. DJ Wagner will follow John Calipari to Arkansas. What a wild back and forth there to end off 7-7. But that's what we do after a long holiday weekend. To the Eastern Conference Finals next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. In only four games, Boston victorious in the ECF over the Indiana Pacers. That on paper seems like pure dominance out of the expected NBA championship favorites all year long. But within those four games, a slightly different story. Three of the four in the Eastern Conference Finals decided by 5 points or less, including game number one that went to overtime, including both of the games, games three and four over the weekend in Indy, as the Pacers did not have their all-star in Tyrese Halliburton. But ultimately, in only four games, the Celtics sweep to head back to their second NBA Finals appearance in the last three NBA seasons. 105-102, the victory for Boston in game number four. A Derek White dagger in the final 55 ticks of regulation. The decisive bucket, a corner three with only 5 seconds remaining on the shot clock. 105-102, the Celtics win. But as the story was, DRS, even without Halliburton, the Pacers put together a gutsy performance. They do cover as a 7.5-point home underdog.
Yeah, I was impressed. I said to start the show, Ben, really impressed by games three and four by the Pacers, really undermanned going up against a really good basketball team, and quite frankly should have no less at least had a split at home forcing a game five. But it's a quick four-game series. And also, how about Derek White? Normally you'd say to yourself, yeah, Derek White made a three-point shot. Newsflash, he's really good at that. But how about still having the confidence in yourself to throw a dagger three in there when you were 1-for-8 from three-point range before that shot, which lifted you up to 2-9? That just shows the confidence of guys and shooters saying, you know what, if I'm wide open, I'm going to take that next shot, and I can believe that I can make it. And quite frankly, only 31% from the three-point line for the Boston Celtics in that game, 14 of 44. But as we always talk about, how do you try to overcome a team that's favored 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 points? You got to shoot a lot of three-point shots, and you have to make a lot of three-point shots. That wasn't the case here for the Indiana Pacers. Yeah. 10 of 29 from the three-point line, only 35%. But by the way, shout out TJ McConnell, playing a lot of minutes and also playing very well in games 3 and 4. But certainly, it's not enough to make up for Tyrese Halliburton, who can hit that nuke button to go over 20 points, drop 5 or 6 three-point shots, and really command that point guard spot. We're just undermanned for the Pacers, but you can't take that away from the Celtics. It wasn't as if this was a long, drawn-out 7-game series, even though we had close games. The Celtics still won 4-0, and that's all you're going to see in the book.
And that's going to be the conversation. A lot of people are going to say Boston easily could have been down 3-1 after four games. Really only game two in the decisive 16-point victory. That's the only one the Celtics deserve. They were down by 18 as Indiana did not have Tyrese Halliburton in game number three. As Donnie mentioned at the top of the show, nearly a double-digit lead for the Pacers in the fourth and final stanza last night. But Boston did win. Were the games more competitive than they should have been or that we expected them to be? Absolutely. The Pacers covering in three of those four games, booked as at least a 7.5-point underdog in all four contests here in the ECF. But Boston did have that championship muster and find a way to win those basketball games. The Pacers coughed up, quite literally, game number one in the final 10 seconds. The turnover on the inbounds pass and then the failure to foul, of which Jaylen Brown paid off with that game-tying corner three to force the extra session. Game two, Boston resilient at home, and even without Tyrese Halliburton and an incredibly gutsy effort out of Indiana, the Celtics found a way to come back from down 18 and to come back from down in the fourth quarter to pull away and ultimately get a victory in all four games. games to advance to the NBA Championship Series for the second time in the last 3 years. We highlight what Boston did, and we'll talk about Jaylen Brown in just a moment, but one final moment for these Indiana Pacers. Without their all-star, injured late in the third quarter of game number two, that left hamstring injury, Dr. Donnie all over it again. You don't injure your hamstring and come back to game or even the second game after. Halliburton not there for either games three or four. And in his place, Donnie, those reserve point guards, if you want to call them that, Andrew Nembhard and TJ McConnell, sensational. McConnell into double digits in both games three and four. And Nembhard, the Pacers' leading scorer in both of those games, 24 last night, 32 in game number three. Ultimately, though, shorthanded, not enough to knock off the Celtics, at least to win a single game in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and take a look at that Halliburton injury. Same thing that we talk about, that, you know, calf injuries that are popping up. Giannis Antetokounmpo, just went down to the calf strain. We never saw him again. Kristaps Porzingis, calf strain. We're not even going to see him till the NBA Finals, and who knows when that's going to be. Now, granted, he has like 2 weeks to get ready. We should see him in game number one. But also, interesting thought process on what you think about the Celtics, right? Because they did win that series 4-0, and that's as good as you can possibly get. But some of those tweets that hit the timeline, like late last night, talking about the fourth quarter win percentages here that you could have with probability. Game number one, 97% for the Pacers. Yeah, they lost that game. Game number three, 94% in the fourth quarter. They lost that game. Game number four, 90% in the fourth quarter, and you lost that. It's incredible because you're right. This wasn't a 4-0 sweep where it's like the Celtics didn't even give up the lead the entire four games. You should have had at least three losses based on probability. But we're not even talking about 55% probabilities. In the mid to high 90s, you're supposed to win those games, and they didn't, which again, shows that clutchness of the Boston Celtics, but will that clutchness be the same when you play a ramped-up team out of the Western Conference who maybe won't be injured by the time you get them?
We'll see if they won't be injured, but that seems to be the luck of the Boston Celtics when they play a team in a series so far throughout this postseason. We'll talk about Boston's path in just a moment, but Jaylen Brown, 29 points last night, game high, team high for Boston. He was great in this series. The defensive play that forced the turnover on the inbounds pass to be paid off with that game-tying corner three in the opening game of the ECF. A game-high 40 points in game number two in Boston's most dominant victory in the Eastern Conference Finals, and was great over the weekend despite Jason Tatum being the leading scorer in game three. He was the leading scorer in game four. He wins the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP award, plus 350 before the series. Tatum was the hefty favorite.
Yeah, and by the way, you also take a look at game number three after that sensational performance in game two by Brown. You knew Tatum wasn't going to let that happen again, and he was the scoring leader. But those are two really good guys going toe-to-toe. It's funny that there's probably a little bit of internal commotion between those two on a night-to-night basis that really isn't there, but I love to promote and say it's there. Like, one guy's a good game, next guy's going to get the ball the next game. Just fun to watch it play out. But Brown was really good in that series and deservedly so getting the MVP.
The Boston Celtics looking for championship number 18, a minus 220 favorite to win the NBA title. We'll look at the finals in just a bit, but out to the Western Conference next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, the Celtics win in only four games, a series sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals to get back to the NBA Finals. Might we see the same in the Western Conference? The Dallas Mavericks have a 3-0 series advantage in the WCF. Game number four tonight in Dallas, the Mavericks a slight home favorite to win this series in only four games as well. DRS last night, the 155th time in NBA postseason history, a team has held a 3-0 series advantage in any playoff round best of seven. And for the 155th time, that team has won the series. how competitive could things get here in the Western Conference Finals? Before we answer that question, we show you how we have reached this point. The Mavericks, of course, winning games 1 and 2 in Minneapolis. Game 2 was Friday night. The Luka Doncic step back over Rudy Gobert, the game winner with only 3 seconds remaining in regulation. And then Luka said he was speaking Slovenian to Gobert. It's not exactly what it looked like. The Mavericks decisive in game number 3, winning 116-107 back in the state of Texas, covering is just a slight 1.5-point favorite. Going over 207 and a hook, all 3 games in this series have gone over. I bring that up because Minnesota's 4 wins over the reigning NBA champs, the Denver Nuggets, in the second round set the total stayed under for one of the best defensive teams in the NBA all year long. Now it's the Mavericks exerting their dominance to a 3-0 series lead in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, that correlation we keep talking about. If you're a defensive team, you'd rather the game technically stay under the total. It's been going over the total. Advantage Dallas Mavericks. Now, look, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a really good team, but for some reason, the Dallas Mavericks must just be under their skin. I mean, we're talking about defensive 4-time defensive player of the year is getting benched during games. Karl Anthony Towns getting benched during big spots in this game. These are guys that are bona fide starters and all-stars getting big money paychecks to deliver in big moments, and they're not even out there because they can't make shots. Karl Anthony Towns, what happened to your 3-point shooting here? If you say to yourself, okay, Rudy Gobert, 4-time player of the year on the defensive end of the ball, he just gets it and looks he's getting toyed with by Luka Doncic on that step back three and getting yelled at this point. I don't know where to go for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but even, in game number 3, Ben, you took a look and said, oh no, look at this. Knee injury flares up for Luka. He's going to give it a go pregame to see if he, I said, this is the angle that the Timberwolves need, only to see Doncic go out and play 40 plus minutes in another dominating effort here. So who knows what to believe in game number 4, except why would you go against the Dallas Mavericks? They clearly have the Timberwolves number right now. Goodness.
Yeah, they certainly do. They're up 3-0, and they look like the better team. Although, again, in what could be another 4-game sweep in a conference final series, at least to this point, all 3 games decided by single digits. Only 9 points is the greatest margin, and that happened in game number 3. The Mavericks winning outright as a road underdog in the Twin Cities in the first 2 games, also covering in game 3 as a slight home favorite, 2-point favorite at this moment for game number 4. To close out this series quickly here in the Western Conference Finals. And we asked the question before this series got started, who was the better dynamic duo? Without a question, it has been Dallas at this point. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving each score 33 in game number 3 to get the better of Minnesota. So at this point, when you look at what that dynamic duo for Dallas has done, it sees the Mavericks, Donnie, as a minus 2,500 favorite to win this series. Expected to get it done tonight as a home favorite. How much longer, if at all, does this series go?
I'm betting against it going 5 games, which means I think they'll get it closed out tonight with the Dallas Mavericks. What have they shown you that they can't come back from a series, that they can't play a hot team on the road and beat them, and also take care of home court advantage? The only thing that would hold them back is if you say, you know what, Luka Doncic's knee really flared up. We got a 3-game series lead. Let's not push it right now and give him the night off. Outside of that, what more can you expect? Because we didn't know if Luka was going to play. And he played 41 minutes in that last game, shot 20 times, going 10 of 20, 5-11 from 3-point range, 7 boards, 5 assists, a block. He was absolutely phenomenal in that game. And yes, from going back to one of those polls, we say, who do you trust just a little bit more? By far and away, now we're taking a look going into game 4. Irving and Doncic have been tremendous. We're still waiting on what we're going to get out of the superstar players from the Timberwolves. He can't wait any longer, and quite frankly, I don't think they wait too much longer tonight. Should be a wrap.
Yep, and you talked about the superstar duo for the Minnesota Timberwolves multiple times so far. When you look at their stats throughout the WCF, the Ant-Man and the Cat have been abysmal. Karl Anthony Towns, 3 of 22 from 3 in the 3 games of the Western Conference Finals, and Anthony Edwards, a budding superstar, has seen that star's light diminish ever so slightly here in the Western Conference Finals. We'll preview game number 4 to start off our second hour, but now back to the NBA Finals odds up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So one of the two teams is already on to the NBA Finals, and the other might not be far behind. The Celtics in a sweep, victorious in the Eastern Conference Finals, back into the NBA Championship Series for the second time in the last 3 years. That was expected out of Boston all season long. Before the year got underway, a short co-favorite to win the NBA title alongside the Milwaukee Bucks, as Milwaukee slightly struggled throughout most of the NBA regular season. The Celtics never did. 64 wins. 64, I think. Yes, in the regular season for Boston to have the NBA's best record, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and they have made good on that promise so far. Boston enters the NBA championship as of this moment as greater than a $2 odds-on favorite at minus 220 to win Larry O'Brien Trophy number 18 in the proud history of that Celtics organization in Beantown. We will see who wins the West, but as you see, based on the NBA championship odds, the Mavericks have a much better outlook, up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. That's pretty reflective, DRS, those numbers of what the projected early hypothetical series numbers would have been and are set to be if it is Boston and Dallas in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, surprised by it, too, because I didn't think the Boston Celtics going up against either the Dallas Mavericks or the Minnesota Timberwolves should be any higher than like a 150 to 160-ish type price. So minus 220 is a little bit alarming here. And also, if you're the Boston Celtics, how do you hope this gets widened here? Well, if you have an extended period of time off and you see the Minnesota Timberwolves maybe win game 4 and game 5 to extend that series, then you set that bulky knee that Luka's been, you know, running on over this whole playoff run, gets a couple more games under his belt before they even have to play the Celtics. But I do understand this. If we do see the Dallas Mavericks tonight beat the Minnesota Timberwolves in 4, I don't know if you could still justify, to be honest with you, Ben, a minus 220 price. Like, I'm still baffled that it is that high. And I understand it's that high in part reason because the other series isn't over. But knowing how the odds work, the series just about is over here. So that minus 220 isn't going to shrink down to a minus 145 by the time the finals here because the Dallas Mavericks have arrived. But I am surprised that it's going to stay and possibly so a 2-to-1 price or higher here, which immediately opens my eye to the Mavericks. Because also keep in mind, if we're talking about an NBA series that's not going to start for well over a week, and you say Luka Doncic, maybe he could use that rest on his knee, how much better is Luka Doncic going to be in the NBA finals with 9 or 10 days off as opposed to like 3 or 4 days off? So that could play into it as well. But again, the Celtics at minus 220, should they be the favorite? Yes. Do I think they're overpriced? I do a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely so, DRS. Again, that's the projected series price. I remember looking at the hypothetical markets that came available last week, and Boston was minus 220 or so, maybe even minus 230 in a potential matchup against the Mavericks. These were after the game ones of both of the conference final series, and they were closer to a $2 favorite, around minus 195, if that eventual champion of the West was the Minnesota Timberwolves. But of course, Dallas is up 3-0. And Donnie said something there that I do want to highlight. The Western Conference Finals is over. How long it goes is the conversation. We shared it. Boston took a 3-0 series lead for the 155th time in NBA playoff history in a best of seven series. In all 155 of those scenarios, the team that had a 3-0 series lead won the series outright. Yes, recently we saw Boston last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, force a seventh game against Miami. They were only the fourth team to even force a game seven. Only 15 out of those 155 times have we seen a team even win two straight games to force a game six. The series is over. The question is, how long does it take out in the Western Conference Finals? If I am wrong, clip that off, and I would love to be a part of whatever Minnesota Timberwolves hype video has them winning the Western Conference Finals. Now, let's talk about the Boston Celtics. Because, Donnie, when we look back on this NBA postseason, when we look back on this run for the Seas that sees them in the NBA Championship Series for the second time in the last three seasons, sure, they were destined to be here. They were expected to be here. They will be judged not on even what they did in the Eastern Conference postseason, but by ultimately winning the ultimate prize, the NBA Championship and Larry O'Brien Trophy number 18. But that will come with a large caveat. that was Boston's trip here to the NBA Finals. Gentlemen sweeps in the first two series against the shorthanded Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. The incredibly shorthanded Cleveland Cavaliers by the time that series came to a close without Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, or Jarrett Allen. And of course, here in the Eastern Conference Finals, a regular series sweep. But as Indiana did not have Tyrese Halliburton, it's all-star for the final two games of the set.
It's kind of crazy because you take a look at the pathway to victory, and you shouldn't be taking much away from the Boston Celtics, Ben, because it wasn't as this was going 6 and 7 games. Like, I can't even believe they're having a hard time putting these teams away. When these teams are put away in a chance to, like you saw in game number 4, an elimination game, they've handled their business in every elimination game, rounds 1, 2, and 3. But again, having said that, yes, there are caveats here when you take a look at the Boston Celtics and how they're going to match up with the Western Conference team that should be full gas by the time they get them. How are they going to handle that adversity? It's a little bit easier to say, okay, remove best player series number 1, best player series number 2, best player series number 3, and adversity, they can't lean on their best player when you can with Brown and Tatum on a night-to-night basis. And I understand Kristaps Porzingis was very good for the Celtics, and that's a key piece that's down, but it's still not your best player that you look to in the biggest moments of games to handle some of those adversity times here. Now, Derek White stepped up with that big 3-point shot yesterday, but he's a pretty quality player, and certainly you can feed off because everybody's worried about player 1 and player 2, which leaves player 3 wide open for a really good look. That's what happens. So I'm interested to see how the Boston Celtics do in the NBA Finals. And if it is, and we get a healthy NBA Finals, it really should be an extended series because we just haven't seen anybody push the Celtics because you're not going to push very many teams without your best basketball player on the court. Now, Ben, it would have been a lot different if we saw a full-go Milwaukee team, even though all the struggles with Doc Rivers, a full-go 76ers team, or heck, even a full-go New York Knicks team with no injuries certainly would have been able to get Boston a run. But none of those teams were there because they were all injured at this point. And the Celtics, the easiest path to the finals that we've seen in a long time, they got there. But you know what, Ben? They still got there.
And again, we talked about the idea that Indiana should be up 3-1 in the ECF. Not really. The games were closer than we expected them to be. Could you have made an argument that Boston should have easily covered winning by double digits as a 7.5-point favorite even on the road in Indianapolis against the Pacers without Halliburton? Sure. I would hear it, not matching the high level of expectation we set for this Boston team. And I have said all along, Donnie, the Celtics will be remembered by what they do in the NBA Finals, regardless of the path to an Eastern Conference Finals. This team, this core, this franchise has been expected to bring home title number 18 to Beantown, and they have failed to do so. They lost to the Warriors in 6 games in the finals 2 years ago, unable to get there despite what seemed to be an easy path with the 8-seed Miami Heat in their way a year ago. Now they are in to the NBA Finals. It is about making sure they pass this test. Jason Tatum did not win the ECF MVP. It went to his teammate Jaylen Brown, who has a third best price to win that NBA Finals MVP. Tatum, though, the even money favorite now at plus 100. You could argue with a plus next to his name, there is better value there than the minus 220 price currently on his team overall, the Celtics to win the crown.
And also, we're talking about the best players stepping up in big moments. Hopefully, we get a healthy Dallas Mavericks team as they're up 3-0 when they enter into the finals, which would make it a little bit tougher and you would have to stand out. But for my money, it's really hard now, specifically, that Jaylen Brown won the Eastern Conference MVP. That's like, ooh, that's supposed to go to Tatum now? I don't know. And why don't you just lay the 220 at this point so you don't have to wait till the podium here who gets that little trophy that you hold up for the MVP compared to the Larry O'Brien. It's like, no, we don't want that to happen here. So that's a tough one here as it looks. But if you're looking at Doncic on the opposite side, plus 210, that's probably – look, I don't think the Dallas Mavericks win the NBA Finals unless he goes absolutely crazy. And he can do that, but that plus 210 price does stick out a little bit here for Luka.
Kyrie has scored 30-plus in 2 of the 3 games, and yet it's only been about Luka Doncic. Oh, by the way, if the Mavericks win tonight and pull off a sweep in the WCF, does the NBA Finals start early? No. Game 1 is June 6th. MLB recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A long weekend in Major League Baseball. Memorial Day is often used around the bigs as a big time in the calendar. You can almost put a pin into your season from what happened in the first month and a half or two to where things are the remainder of the summer in 162 around MLB. Are you a true contender? What pieces might you need to add as we approach late July in the MLB trade deadline? Are you floundering in the middle where you're going to be invested into making a run, or might you already look at 2025 and what the winter has to hold? A big weekend in Major League Baseball in some devastating news for the Atlanta Braves. The reigning NL MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr., suffering a torn ACL over the weekend. He has now been placed on the IL for the remainder of the season. Ronald Acuna Jr. out for the rest of 2024 for the Atlanta Braves.
Absolutely devastating news. And if you're a good baseball team like the Braves are at 30-21, can you survive, which means have a productive season? Yes, you can. But can you win the pennant? Can you win the NL East? Can you win the World Series? I don't think so. Name me one team that has lost a Cy Young pitcher and an MVP player from their lineup and just said, you know what? Let's just continue to win a lot of baseball games and we'll be fine in the World Series. You can make up for, okay, we need an extra bat in the lineup who can go up against left-handed pitchers. We need an extra bullpen arm. You can always find those. You don't find Cy Young pitchers and MVP players at the trade deadline all that much here at this point. It'll be interesting to see where the Braves go throughout the summer. And I've told you multiple times on this program, I think they have the best front office in baseball. They will make amends here. They're still a solid ball club. But for anybody out there that thought you want to challenge the Philadelphia Phillies or the Dodgers for supremacy in the NL and do it with two hands tied behind your back now, I don't think that's going to be the case. All is not lost for the Braves on a good season. All is lost for the Braves on winning a World Series.
Yes, really good point, DRS. Are the Atlanta Braves more than likely going to be in the NL postseason? Yes, they're still one of the six best teams in that league, even if they do not win the National League East for the first time in seven MLB campaigns. They have won it six consecutive seasons. But is their ceiling altered losing Spencer Strider for the year and losing Ronald Acuna Jr.? Absolutely so. And don't just take our word for it. Look at the updated odds from where the Atlanta Braves were, not even before the year got started and trailing the Phils now toward the end of May, from where they were last week to where they are now following the news that Ronald Acuna Jr. is out for the year. An updated win total down by four wins to 97.5. The most movement in the National League East odds, and now Atlanta for the first time this year, not the second best price, close behind the Dodgers to win the pennant, but the third best number behind both LA and Philadelphia. Listen, entering the season, the Atlanta Braves had the two front runners to win the National League MVP, Acuna, the reigning winner of it, and the National League Cy Young Award. Spencer Strider, who was well shorter than any other pitcher in the NL, both now out for the rest of this year.
Absolutely devastating. But again, they are going to make some moves here. Now, I sit here and say, you know, a little bit later in the show, having Craig Mitch on, maybe talking about Mike Trout options where it's like, hey, could he go back to Philadelphia? It's a pretty crowded outfield, but you certainly would take him. There are some spots now that you're looking at in the outfield there for the Atlanta Braves that could handle a Mike Trout and that payroll addition here, that they could make some moves and really have some fun and fire up their fan base, even though Trout's not coming back for some time. The one thing we do know, Trout's coming back this season. Ronald Acuna is not coming back this season. And if you take a look at an ACL, it's typically a full year round, which as we sit in the middle of May, that probably means Ronald Acuna is just getting his legs back by the time you even get the spring training of next year. And who knows how productive he's going to be in that 2025 campaign. They'll make adjustments here, but if you are a Philadelphia Phillies backer and you got him at much better prices than you do see today, that was a pretty good day for your odds, because once again, that's still a quality baseball club that's going to be well above 500 on the season. Ronald Acuna or no Ronald Acuna, but the fact that you missed that guy in those big moments to make those plays, I don't know, 40 home runs, 30 home runs, 40 steals at the top of that lineup setting the table, that's not going to be there. That's going to hurt the Atlanta Braves. We'll see where they wind up, and we'll see what moves that front office makes.
The first guy ever in MLB history, Ronald Acuña Jr., last year to hit 40 home runs and steal more than 60 bases in a single season. I think it was more than 40. I'll check those updated numbers, but it was a historic year for Atlanta and Acuña in 2023, ultimately coming up short once again in the National League postseason. Back to the Phils. You saw the drastic market movement, not because of something that happened to them, but what happened to their closest competitor in the National League East and in the pennant prices. You can shave nearly the Phils' price to win the pennant in half and their price to win the World Series this season literally in half, 10-1 to 5-1 because of an injury on the Atlanta Braves. That is how much markets move, and everything is correlated and compared to one another based on just a single injury. Philly still the best record in all of the National League, the best record in all of baseball. That is how good the Phils have been this year individually, and then have some things fall their way outside of that. And we have had this conversation almost at nauseam, DRS, for the last week. Philadelphia versus Atlanta to win the National League East. When might the Phils flip to the favorites? Okay, co-favorites last week, minus money price alongside the Braves. Now it's the Phils by themselves. I am happy with myself. Middle of last week, betting the Philadelphia Phillies at even money plus 100 to win the National League East when the Atlanta Braves were still minus 130 and feeling pretty good about that ticket at this current moment.
Yeah, and you should feel good about that. And also, even before Ronald Acuña went down, we were saying to ourselves, okay, on a day-to-day basis, and I do preface this with the game yesterday, saying anytime you have your Philly starting pitcher, you're always going to have that better pitcher outside of Taijuan Walker, who hasn't been very good and probably going to get moved to the bullpen here. The Phillies are better than you on a day-to-day basis in that lineup. Same thing we'd be saying if we lost Zach Wheeler in Philadelphia and also Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. You would tank even if the Phillies had a 5 or 6 game lead. Like, oh, that's not going to last because over the attrition of the summer, you're going to lose baseball games because your best players aren't in the lineup. That's what we would be saying. So that's a good price at plus 100 that completely swung. And I'm surprised it even got that high because we were talking the last 2 to 3 weeks. Like, sooner or later, the tide is going to turn. The Phillies are better than the Braves, Acuña or no Acuña. Now he's down. It's almost like that white flag is now flying in Atlanta going, okay, we're not going to win this division. Let's just see if we can make a run to the playoffs.
The Braves were minus 230 to win the NL East just 2 weeks ago. Should have bet it then. Glad I did eventually. Weekend scores for the Bigs. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So that was the big picture news around Major League Baseball from Memorial Day weekend. Ronald Acuña Jr., the reigning NL MVP for the Atlanta Braves, torn ACL, out for the remainder of this season. Now to the actual scores from the weekend that was, and Memorial Day, of course, yesterday. Big news in Milwaukee, not just Craig Counsell's return for the first time to Wisconsin as the manager of the Cubs, and he got ruthlessly booed by the Brewers crowd, and rightfully so, but the gas bomb, as we correctly predicted, Robert Gasser gets the start for the Brewers, 3-hit shutout over 6 innings. Milwaukee has won all 4 of his MLB career starts, 5-1 yesterday, to lengthen their lead in the National League Central over the Chicago Cubs. The Nats beat the Braves yesterday 8-4. The Giants beat the Phillies 8-4 on Memorial Day as well. But yet, DRS, the Philadelphia Phillies, 38 wins, the most in all of the major leagues.
Yeah, can't win every game, and you're going to have those ups and downs, no doubt about it. They gave one away in Colorado, but also stole one in Colorado and finally ended up losing that series. Taijuan Walker on the mound yesterday. The Phillies tried to give him an honest effort at the plate, just didn't work out in their favor. And also, how about Milwaukee and Chicago? 0-0 into the bottom of the 8th inning, where the Milwaukee Brewers played 5 runs, which includes that Willie Adames blast here to give them the victory. That now improves them on the season to 31-22. And as we're taking a look at those standings, right, it used to be a tale of 3 teams. Now it feels like it's a tale of 2 teams between the Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies, who the Dodgers were one of those teams that it doesn't matter who they start and pitch or who's in that lineup, they win baseball games, which they're not doing right now. And it's kind of baffling as well. So the 2 top teams in the NL struggling a little bit as of late, which means the past 4 or 5 days.
DRS, there are 2 teams that are two games above 500 or better. And there are three teams, excuse me, in the National League that are two games above 500 or better. The Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Braves. But the Dodgers be struggling right now. The Cubbies have lost five straight. The Dodgers have also lost five straight. Their opening midweek series game against the New York Mets yesterday rained out because of some torrential downpours here in the greater New York City area. So the Dodgers will start this week at Citi Field against the New York Mets, losers of five in a row. The Dodgers have 33 wins. Philadelphia has 38 wins. The Phils well on their way to having the best record around the National League. Now we go to the American League side of things. The Mariners knock off the Astros yesterday, 3-2 in the opening game of their Monday set. The Twins defeat the Royals despite KC coming back. And our guy Vinny Pasquantino having an RBI single earlier in the contest. And the O's hammer the Red Sox to win 11-3. Oh, the Guardians, who were the hottest active team entering Memorial Day Monday. They had won nine consecutive games and had an early 3-0 lead against the Rockies in Coors Field. See Colorado come all the way back to win 8-6, snapping that nine-game win streak.
Yeah, no surprise there. Rockies actually playing much better baseball than at the beginning of the season. So they beat down the Phillies there in the series, and they'll take a game from the Guardians. So they're headhunting right now for the top of the division guys, but also just surfing around and what's going on. The Houston Astros still have that big ability to try to come back in the West. Now you have two Western teams playing each other, and that was the Mariners 3-2 victory over the Astros. Just couldn't get those bats going here. And there you go. Mariners with now 29-26. Somebody run away with the West in the AL. Somebody do it, please.
That's a four-game set this week as well. The Astros are six games below 500. The Mariners are the only team in the American League West that has a winning record. And the Rangers now, the World Series, the reigning World Series champs who have been struggling over the past 2 weeks, four games below 500 at 25-29. The White Sox remain the worst team in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox an even 500. And now as we go around and kind of reset where things stand, here are the World Series odds. Because of the injury to Ronald Acuna Jr., negative market movement against the Atlanta Braves, 5-1 before the weekend, now 8-1. The Dodgers remain the short favorites at +280. Nearly half the rest of the field in MLB, the Phils and the Yankees tied for the second best price at 5-1.
Yeah, we'll see who wins their games today. The Philadelphia Phillies take on the San Francisco Giants, and I think the Yankees have a pretty good advantage tonight going up against LA, so we'll see how that one turns out. But still early relative in the season. No team to 40-plus wins yet. We'll see how these things shake out, but now we're getting closer to the All-Star break, closer to the trade deadline. The teams that we thought were good baseball teams at this point in the season will continue to be good baseball teams, and the teams that had those good starts, who we thought might not have been that good, Ben, they're going to start to fall to the wayside now. Let's see what happens.
And we'll show you the favorites around the American and National League for all the awards that you need to know here following Memorial Day a little bit later on in the show. But hour two starts with a preview of game 4 tonight in Dallas between the T-Wolves and the Mavs. Next.